Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, February 15th, 2019. Coming up this hour,
the fallout from Amazon pulling out of New York.
Long Island City has cut off their nose to spite their face.
I was surprised, quite frankly, that they pulled out.
This is not the Valentine that New York needed.
Complete coverage of the move all morning on Bloomberg Radio.
Plus, stocks in Asia slide as trade talks wrap up in Beijing.
President Trump is set to sign a bill to avoid another government shutdown. However, he plans to declare a national emergency to fund a border wall. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Rob Buschka. Ahead in sports, the streak is finally over for Knicks fans, while pitchers and catchers report to spring training.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
And European stocks are nudging higher, while U.S. futures and Asian shares trim this week's gains. It is 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 3 points this morning. Dow futures down 38. NASDAQ futures down 11. The DAX in Germany, little changed. CAC in Paris up 0.7%. The FTSE 100 up 0.25%. Nikkei 225 in Japan fell 1.2% or 1.1%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong was down 1.9%. 10-year Treasury, little change, yield 2.65%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.49%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.3% or 15 cents to $54.56 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.33%, up $4.90 to $13.1890 an ounce. The euro, $1.1285, and the yen, 110.42. Nathan.
Karen, the fallout continues this morning from Amazon abandoning its planned headquarters in Long Island City. New York State Senator Michael Gianaris, a key opponent of Amazon's push into the city, tells Bloomberg it is the right decision for the state.
It's just a matter of standing up for New York and hopefully beginning a long overdue conversation nationally about whether these corporate incentive and subsidy programs are worth it.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo and Mayor Bill de Blasio had pushed hard to bring Amazon to Queens. City Councilman Jimmy Van Bramer was among those concerned about the company's opposition to unions.
I was surprised, quite frankly, that they pulled out at this early juncture instead of actually dealing with some of the very real issues that we raised.
Just a day before canceling the new headquarters, Amazon was still talking to officials about salvaging the deal.
But apparently no plan came together, leading to the demise of the most prominent development deal in recent history. Gene Munster covers Amazon for Loop Ventures.
It does feel like Long Island City has cut off their nose to spite their face. This is just needless self-destruction. And I'm worried that there's going to be other shots at some of these tech companies in the future.
Democratic Congresswoman Carolyn Maloney represents the Queens District that includes Long Island City. She spoke with Bloomberg's Kevin Cirilli on Sound On, heard weekdays at 5 p.m. on Bloomberg 99.1 in Washington.
This is not the Valentine that New York needed. I'm disappointed that New York City won't be the home to over 25,000 minimum new jobs and will also lose out on infrastructure improvements that would have accompanied this project.
Urban policy experts say there's plenty of blame to go around, including regional politicians who didn't properly consult local interests, officials who turned the debate into a national bully pulpit, and an economic development process that pits cities against each other to court large companies.
And this is all making for one big undisputed winner in the bid for Amazon's East Coast headquarters. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett reports.
The winner, National Landing, Virginia, an area encompassing three suburban neighborhoods that was invented as a home for Amazon. Now it's been promoted to Amazon's sole planned East Coast hub. Christian Dorsey, chairman of the Arlington County Board, says the county plans to sign its agreement with Amazon in March, which calls for an estimated 25,000 jobs by the year 2030. He says if Amazon needs it, it can hit up to almost 38,000 after that. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. We turn to news outside of Amazon now. Trade talks between the U.S. and China have been driving financial markets all week, and now those negotiations are wrapping up in Beijing. We get the latest from Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis.
Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin was the first to sound a positive note. He tweeted productive meetings with China's Vice Premier Liu He and U.S. Trade Representative Ambassador Lighthizer. It was the first indication Friday afternoon that some progress was made in this week's talks. Earlier, three U.S. and Chinese officials had told Bloomberg there was no visible progress on efforts to narrow the gap around structural reforms to China's economy. In Hong Kong, I'm Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Brian, thank you. And that earlier word of no progress in trade talks weighed on stocks in Asia today. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us with details from Singapore. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Weak Chinese factory data added to the downbeat mood. The CSI 300 lower by 1.8%. Hong Kong and South Korean stocks were also hit hard. The Hang Seng posting its worst drop in a month, with most of the 50 companies listed on the index in the red. The KOSPI was down 1.3% in Seoul to 2,196 points. In Tokyo, the Nikkei 225 was down by 1.1% to close at 20,900 points. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thank you. In the UK, retail sales rose in January at the fastest pace in 6 months. Excluding auto fuel, the volume of goods sold rose 1.2% from December. That beat estimates of just 0.2% gain.
European auto sales declined for a fifth straight month in January. Passenger car registrations in the EU dropped 4.6% from last year, with sales declining in all of the largest markets, including Germany, France, and the UK.
Shares of Royal Bank of Scotland are up more than 1%. The bank posted better-than-expected earnings for the fourth quarter and announced a special dividend. Still, RBS says the political and economic headwinds facing the UK remain a challenge.
Here in the U.S., shares of NVIDIA are up more than 5% in early trading. The chipmaker is forecasting sales at top estimates, saying revenue will be flat this fiscal year. Analysts had expected a drop of about 7%.
And 13F filings are out with a look at where investors put money last quarter. Warren Buffett piled into bank stocks while trimming his stake in Apple. Meanwhile, hedge funds largely took risk off the table, with the value of most U.S. equity holdings dropping in the period. Right now, futures are lower, with S&P futures down 4 points this morning. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thanks. It's 5:07 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr to find out more of what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. President Donald Trump will sign a border security compromise that would avert a second painful government shutdown. However, President Trump says he plans to bypass lawmakers and declare a national emergency to siphon other federal coffers for his wall on the Mexican border. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter reports the president says he plans to get a total of roughly $8 billion in federal money for the border wall.
Step one, Bloomberg sources are saying the president plans to unilaterally shift nearly $7 billion in federal funds to build the wall. Step two, this on top of the $1.3 billion of the bill passed by the House and Senate. The $7 billion from sources already approved by Congress for other purposes. Now, this could cause divisions in his own party, which worries about what any future president could do. For example, a Democratic president could take funds to fight climate change or immediately fund the new Green Deal. And footnote, this $8 billion is considerably more than the $5.7 billion for which he's been asking. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Reaction from lawmakers on the president's planned national emergency declaration. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell.
I've indicated to him that I'm going to support the national emergency declaration.
Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
It would be another demonstration of President Trump's naked contempt for the rule of law and congressional authority.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
The president making an end run around Congress. Here he said, let us respect what the committee will do, and then walks away from it.
South Carolina Republican Senator Lindsey Graham says he stands firmly behind President Trump's decision. Spain's Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez is calling for a snap election. The election was called after the socialist spending plan failed. Sanchez said the vote will be held on April 28th. President Trump's company has scrapped its once ambitious plans to expand its hotel business. The Trump Organization blamed politics for the retrenchment. Donald Trump's doctor says overall the president is in very good health, but his weight qualifies him as obese. Physician Sean Connolly says the president's weight is 243 pounds, up 4 pounds since his last physical.
in 2018. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. Coming up on 5:10 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Nathan. The longest single-season losing streak in Knicks history is just that, history.
Smith slings it out. Cornette, left wing three, buries it. Luke Cornette with his third three. Timeout, Lloyd Pierce in Atlanta.
Knicks Radio Network, it's been 18 long games since New York can call themselves winners. 106-91, they win in Atlanta, thanks to 19 points from Dennis Smith Jr. It's the 11th win of the year for the Knicks, tied for the fewest in the league with Phoenix. On the ice, the Islanders dominated in Columbus, blanking the Blue Jackets 3-0. Coach Barry Trotz.
There wasn't any passengers tonight. I thought everybody was, we had a little bit of a game plan that we wanted to follow. They did it, and we got, you know, cut some timely saves and a couple of timely goals and just stayed with it, and it was a team win.
Thomas Greiss had 31 saves. Isles remain atop the Metro, 3 points ahead of Washington. Devils were dumped 5-2 in Chicago. And it may not feel like spring, but pitchers and catchers have reported to Florida. The Mets' Jacob DeGrom is focused on the season amid trade speculation.
I wouldn't say I'm frustrated. I have a job to do, and that's to get ready to play baseball. And I try to block all that stuff out. That's kind of for my agents, and that's what they're there for, to work these things out and to make it where I can just focus on getting ready for the season.
DeGrom won the Cy Young Award last year with his 1.70 ERA. And NBA commissioner Adam Silver has received interest from NFL owners about becoming their commissioner. Silver hasn't given it any thought just yet. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
Rob, thanks. Tune in tonight for the Bloomberg Business of Sports show when we speak to the president of NASCAR, Steve Phelps. Catch that conversation tonight at 8 and tomorrow at 11 a.m. Plus, tune in for a special President's Day show on Monday when we talk to former NBA Commissioner David Stern. Catch it all right here on Bloomberg Radio and download the show online as an Apple podcast. This is Bloomberg. And it's coming up on 5:12 on Wall Street. Straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, we get into the politics of Amazon's decision to pull up stakes from New York. Greg Valliere, Chief U.S. Policy Strategist at AGF Investments, is with us next. This is Bloomberg.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks nudging higher while U.S. stock index futures and Asian shares are trimming this week's gains. As growth concerns linger and the latest round of U.S.-Chinese trade talks end with no clear breakthrough. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 2 points this morning. Dow futures down 29. NASDAQ futures down 7. The DAX in Germany is little changed, up about 0.1%. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 2.64%. That yield on the 2-year, 2.49%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.2% or 12 cents to $54.53 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.4% or $5.10 to $13.19 an ounce. The euro, $1.1284, the yen, 110.42. And today we're watching for a report on Empire Manufacturing out at 8:30 Wall Street time, along with the Import Price Index. Industrial production and capacity utilization are out at 9:15, and consumer sentiment at 10. And Deere & Company, among companies scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. President Donald Trump plans to call a national emergency to build his promised border wall. Last night, the House and Senate approved the bipartisan funding bill to avert a government shutdown. President Trump is expected to sign it, declare an emergency, and then shift about $7 billion in federal resources to construct the wall along the U.S.-Mexico border. At least that's his plan. That is on top of the $1.37 billion allocated by Congress for border fencing. Spanish Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez called for a snap election on April 28th. It comes after Parliament vetoed his budget and left his minority government unable to pass key legislation. In the NBA, the Knicks snapped an 18-game losing streak, beating the Hawks 106-91. The league now heads into the All-Star break. In the NHL, the Devils lost, the Islanders won, along with the Capitals.
Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
How about those Knicks? Thank you, Michael. It is coming up on 520 on Wall Street and live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Greg Valliere joins us now. He's now Chief U.S. Policy Strategist at AGF Investments. Always good to have you on, Greg. Want to get to all that's happening in Washington, D.C. Obviously, a lot going on there. But I want to get your take first on Amazon, its decision to pull out of Long Island City, because there's a political dimension to that as well.
Yeah, good morning. What a message it sends to any company that wants to do business in the New York City area, or at least certainly that part of New York. I think it was a very discouraging sign. I think that the opponents will be vilified for what they've done, but it's a new era. It's a new world where traditional liberals, you know, de Blasio, Cuomo, are being challenged by the far left.
Are they being shoved aside on a more permanent basis by this progressive, I guess you could call it the self-described democratic socialist wing of the Democratic Party?
Well, not only is that a big story in New York, it's a big story around the country where you see the Democrats now dividing between moderates, maybe a Biden, and people much further to the left. If the far left prevails, and they, you know, they have arguments that they're very passionate about, but if they prevail, I think it gives the Republicans a tremendous foil.
A tremendous foil in the 2020 race, certainly, yeah?
You bet. You bet. Absolutely.
And, I mean, what does this say about where the direction of the Democratic Party goes as it tries to, you know, unseat President Trump next year?
Well, every poll I've seen shows that the main criteria that most voters want is who can beat Trump. And I think if the party does veer sharply to the left, their chances of beating Trump would diminish. So perhaps the party will come to its senses and realize the object here is to win elections, not advance policies that are still not mainstream.
In the meantime, though, how does the business community sort of adapt to this moment when you have a company like Amazon, you know, finding itself in the middle of a backlash that it really didn't necessarily expect or prepare for in Long Island City?
Yeah, that's a good point. I think that businesses have to realize there's great antipathy toward them from activists. And, you know, the fact that Amazon paid no taxes in the last 2 years, one of the great companies in the world. In fact, Amazon got a tax refund in the last couple of years. So that does generate a lot of animosity.
Now, I want to move on to what could be happening later on this morning as President Trump is set to go to the Rose Garden later this morning and talk about the national security crisis, as he describes it, at the border. What precedent could he be setting if he does indeed go ahead with a national emergency declaration?
Well, the precedent, Nathan, is a real problem for a lot of Republicans, including Mitch McConnell, who feel that, you know, a President Kamala Harris in 3 or 4 years, for example, could cite a national emergency on climate change, income inequality, a wide range of issues. So the precedent is troubling. I think the good news here is that the country finally gets some relief from this daily barrage of will we shut down, won't we shut down. There will not be a shutdown, obviously. And while the border story will continue to be dominant, it'll be tied up in the courts for months and months to come.
Now, you mentioned that the backlash over Amazon could set up the Democratic Party as a foil in 2020. Could this emergency declaration set the president up as a foil in 2020?
It could, and he has to worry about his base being very disenchanted by a pretty wimpy deal, not much money, no wall, and his base also worries about this precedent. So I would think that this could wind up being a negative for Trump quite clearly with his own base.
And when you talk about the possibility of Democrats saying or Republicans perhaps saying that the Democrats could declare national emergencies for issues that they care about, I mean, does that set up the 2020 race as well, just briefly?
Yes, it does. But again, I think for the next several months, this is a court fight. And mercifully, we get to shift attention to other issues.
Greg Valliere, Chief U.S. Policy Strategist at AGF Investments. Look forward to having you on again to talk more about those issues as they develop. Thanks, as always, for being with us here on Bloomberg Daybreak. A morning pointing to losses on Wall Street as far as the futures contracts go, though not as steeply as they'd been pointing earlier. S&P futures are down nearly 4 points. Dow futures down 35 and NASDAQ futures down 11 points at the moment. The price of the 10-year up 1/32. The yield is at 2.64% and the 2-year treasury is trading at 2.49%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by MBAF, CPAs and advisors dedicated to solving complex tax and accounting challenges, identifying opportunities and helping businesses maximize profits. Learn more at MBAFCPA.com.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991. To Boston. Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco. Bloomberg 960. To the country. Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It is 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by the accounting and advisory firm Eisner Amper. Are you experiencing tax turbulence like most businesses? For a tax diagnostic and to connect to resources you need, visit EisnerAmper.com/tax turbulence.
And we're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. The fallout continues this morning from Amazon abandoning its planned headquarters in Long Island City. New York State Senator Michael Giannaris was a key opponent of the deal, criticizing $3 billion in government subsidies, plus the prospect of rising rents.
I don't think that was worth it, and I think the way Amazon reacted to it proved my point, that they were unwilling to deal with legitimate concerns that this community had.
Just a day before canceling the new headquarters, Amazon was still talking to officials about salvaging the deal. Democratic Congresswoman Carolyn Maloney represents the Queens District that includes Long Island City. She spoke with Bloomberg's Kevin Cirilli on Sound On, heard weekdays at 5 p.m. on Bloomberg 99.1 in Washington.
It was a big loss. There were parts of the deal to be improved, and I agreed with the community on that. But I wanted to work with Amazon and the community to address their concerns. But now it looks like we've lost that opportunity.
The big winner in all of this, National Landing Virginia, which has now been promoted to Amazon's sole East Coast hub.
All right, turning to news outside of Amazon now. U.S. futures are lower as we close out the trading week. Trade tensions between the U.S. and China continue to weigh on sentiment, with the two sides reported to be far apart on reform demands as high-level talks conclude in Beijing.
Meanwhile, China's producer prices eked out a tiny gain last month. PPI rose 0.1% from a year earlier, adding to concern that deflation may be looming.
In the U.K., retail sales rose in January at the fastest pace in 6 months. Excluding auto fuel, the volume of goods sold rose 1.2% from December, beating estimates for just a 0.2% gain.
European car sales declined for a fifth straight month in January. Passenger car registrations in the EU dropped 4.6%.
With just 2 weeks to save her deal, Theresa May is preparing to compromise with the EU on the Irish border. Yesterday, Parliament threw out the Prime Minister's Brexit approach.
On the earnings front, shares of Royal Bank of Scotland are up more than 1%, the bank reporting earnings above estimates.
And shares of NVIDIA are up 5%. The chipmaker report are predicted stronger fiscal 2020 sales than analysts estimated.
S&P futures down about 4 points this morning. Dow futures down 41. NASDAQ futures down 12. The 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 2.64%, and the euro at $1.1283. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
All right, thank you, Karen. It is 5:33 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr to get more of what's going on around the world. Michael?
Thank you very much, Nathan. The White House confirms that President Donald Trump will sign a bill reached by the House and Senate last night to avert a potential partial government shutdown. The president also plans to declare a national emergency to secure additional funding for constructing a border wall. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has a warning for Republicans.
A Democratic president can do that. Democratic president can declare emergencies as well. So the precedent that the president is setting here is something that should be met with great unease and dismay by the Republicans.
The president plans to shift money from other agencies to get a total of $8 billion for the border wall, an idea that Republican Congressman Matt Gaetz supports.
If we build a wall, it will help the people that are trying to secure our border, and it just may make some of the other challenges that we have with drug interdiction a lot easier to solve by creating a choke point that gives us an opportunity to stop drugs from coming in the country.
However, not all Republican lawmakers are behind the move. Republican Senator Susan Collins of Maine.
I continue to believe that this is not what the National Emergencies Act was intended to be used for. It was contemplated as a means for responding to a catastrophic event like an attack on our country or a major natural disaster.
The U.S. Supreme Court is on the brink of diving into a politically divisive clash over the 2020 census. The justices could agree as early as today to consider letting President Trump's administration add a question about citizenship to the census. Democrats say it would reduce participation, particularly by Hispanic households. Spain's prime minister called for a snap election, pitching the country into a period of fresh political uncertainty after a parliament veto of his budget. Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez said today that the vote will be held on April 28th. Venezuela's president Nicolas Maduro says his government has held a secret meeting in New York with U.S. envoy to Venezuela Elliot Abrams about the political crisis in his country. In an interview with the Associated Press, Maduro predicts he will survive the unprecedented global campaign to force his resignation. Global news, 24 hours a day. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
Michael, thank you. It's 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Nathan. It's the longest single-season drought in Knicks history, and it's finally over. New York had been stuck on 10 wins, losers of 18 straight, and hasn't celebrated a win since January 4th at the Lakers. They beat Atlanta 106-91 on the road. Coach David Fizdale.
That we hung in there and just, you know, despite the losses that we have faced all the way up to even to the break. And again, I keep talking about this team's character. You know, it had been very easy for us to check out and get on to wherever we were going to go. But we were desperate men. Those guys wanted this game really badly, and they came out and they showed it.
Let's hope the Knicks can get a win at home. Knicks fans haven't seen one at the Garden since the overtime shootout with first-place Milwaukee on December 1st. On the frozen floor, the Islanders lit up the Blue Jackets in Columbus.
Foligno turns it over, and here's another chance. Cizikas on a breakaway. He's in alone, and he scores! Two breakaway goals!
MSG on the call as New York shut out Columbus 3-0 to maintain its three-point lead in the Metro Division over the Capitals. Devils were pounded 5-2 by the Blackhawks in Chicago. Pitchers and catchers have reported for both the Yankees and Mets. Yankees skipper Aaron Boone, however, focused on shortstop Didi Gregorius's return.
His last doctor's checkup was in New York, where he was cleared to start his throwing program. He still won't hit, you know, at least with two hands, start swinging a bat, I think, for three or four more weeks.
Gregorius had Tommy John surgery in October. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
All right, Rob, thank you. Now back to our top story this morning. Amazon abandoning plans for a headquarters in Long Island City, Queens. New York Democratic Congresswoman Carolyn Maloney represents the district that would have welcomed Amazon into the state. She spoke with Bloomberg's Kevin Cirilli late yesterday.
Congresswoman, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo also reacting the way you have, saying that, quote unquote, a small group of politicians put their own narrow political interests above their community, and says that, quote, the New York State Senate has done tremendous damage. So how do you, Congresswoman, factor in that anti-corporate message from your colleagues, Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez? What's your message to those progressives in your party who really spoke out against this?
Well, I said if you looked at the economics, and I personally I think that the mayor and the governor were heroes. Every city and state in the country was competing for this opportunity, and we were far from the largest incentive package. It was really the metro areas, the peoples, and really the trust in them. But the economic package of they estimated $27.5 billion in state and local tax revenue over the next 25 years. And that was according to local economic development agencies, and that would have put us on a firm economic footing, which is very important. The mayor and the governor have come out recently saying we're in tax shortfalls for our state and our city, and that's troubling. And I think the concern of many people, they believe that the cost of the incentives promised to Amazon for their Long Island City location was too generous, and they estimated that to be at $3 billion. But what was not clear is that you never got that $3 billion. It was not a pile of money that was sitting there. It was a pile of money that they would have paid in state and local taxes from the people that they employed and the business itself.
Can you dive deeper into that? Because I think that right there truly was not really clearly explained.
What I felt was very disingenuous is that a lot of politicians were saying, hey, this is how I'd spend that $3 billion. I'd build a school. I'd do this. Uh-huh. I'd do that. There was no pot of money there. It was the economic activity from Amazon that created the money. And then what Amazon then got was a tax break. That's what they got, a tax break. They didn't get money. They got a tax break from the taxes they were already paying. Plus, Amazon was promising Long Island City a school and improving roughly 30 other schools in the city, not just Long Island City, but, you know, across the city in the Bronx and Brooklyn and Manhattan, where young people want to learn tech. What better way to learn tech than have mentors and people from Amazon help teach it and help support it?
New York Democratic Congresswoman Carolyn Maloney, she represents the district that includes Long Island City and would have housed Amazon's second headquarters. Congresswoman Maloney spoke with Bloomberg's Kevin Cirilli on Sound On, heard weekdays at 5 p.m. on Bloomberg 99.1 in Washington. S&P futures 3.5 points lower, Dow futures down by 40, NASDAQ futures down 12 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. It's coming up on 5:41 on Wall Street. Stay with us as we continue our extensive coverage of Amazon's decision to pull out of New York City. We check in with Bloomberg Opinion on that next. This is Bloomberg.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks are moving higher, actually. U.S. stock index futures are as well. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are up 2 points. Dow futures up 15. NASDAQ futures are up 5. The DAX in Germany is up 0.5%. 10-year Treasury, little change. Yield 2.65%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.49%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.5% or 25 cents to $54.66 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.5% or $6.10 to $13.20 an ounce. The euro at $1.1279 and the yen 110.44. Today we are watching for a report on Empire Manufacturing at 8:30 Wall Street time along with the Import Price Index. Industrial production and capacity utilization are out at 9:15 and consumer sentiment is out at 10. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, it looks like the government shutdown fight seems to be over. President Trump plans to sign a bipartisan measure reached by the House and Senate last night and then declare a national emergency to fund a border wall. The first two Democratic presidential debates for the 2020 election will have two heats with room for a total of 20 candidates who meet certain polling or grassroots fundraising thresholds. A senior Democratic National Committee official outlined the framework for the June and July events. In the NBA, the Knicks snapped an 18-game losing streak, beating the Hawks. The league now heads into the All-Star break. NHL, the Devils lost. Islanders won along with the Capitals. Global news 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, where it's almost 5:49 on Wall Street. Time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion, our platform offering informed perspectives on a range of global topics and expert data-driven commentary on breaking news. Bloomberg Opinion editor Jennifer Ryan is with us from our London Bureau. Of course, a lot of the focus this morning on Amazon. From our columnists this morning, Jen, what does tech columnist Shira Ovideh make of Amazon's withdrawal from the city?
Well, it's a clear loss for Amazon and also a wake-up call for all tech companies. The issue here is that Amazon misjudged by setting inflated expectations for what its HQ2 could deliver. I mean, there was the year-long beauty contest, voluminous requests for information, promises, and then, the promises of tax breaks. The reward was up to 500 up to 50,000 jobs and bragging rights. But then, you know, it turns out that the co-headquarters are going to be split into three. And that, you know, was pretty disappointing for everyone who participated.
Yeah, we are certainly seeing the letdown play out with that decision.
It is because, you know, if you're promised up to $3 billion in tax breaks, it doesn't sit very well with concerns that it's going to contribute to a city that's already grappling with some pretty substantial income inequality and an overtaxed infrastructure.
So does this send a message to tech companies more broadly?
Yeah, I mean, if you consider Amazon's size, its profile, and its influence, you know, there's a lot of unwanted attention that it's getting as well. And it's not going to be the only big tech company to experience that. So the warning should be that big tech shouldn't consider that they're going to be welcomed with unquestioned open arms in any place that they want to do business, because really the tech lash is truly underway.
Yeah, one aspect of that tech lash is something Connor Sen is looking at in his column about progressives' political power and its influence on Amazon's decision.
I mean, the pullout of Amazon raises the possibility, Connor Sen says, that progressives have really overplayed their hand. I mean, true, they're newly energized after electoral success in November, but he says that they don't seem to have the electoral mandate that they believe they do. If you look at the opponents of the New York deal with Amazon, you know, surely they're cheering, but really they're on shaky ground politically, given that the arrival of Amazon really had consistently polled well with voters. Support for the deal was highest among Black and Latino voters, with white voters considerably more mixed, largely over concerns about overcrowding infrastructure and aggravating a housing crisis.
Yeah, it's interesting to point that out, because we've seen the progressives on Capitol Hill declaring victory. We're running a victory lap after Amazon's decision. Where's the disconnect?
I mean, the news cycle really hasn't been kind. And, you know, that's the thing that really needs paying attention to. If you think about the Green New Deal proposal, the introduction of that was botched because the way it was done left lawmakers and the media trying to figure out what had actually been proposed. On top of that, California's new governor, Gavin Newsom, announced that the state no longer intends to complete high-speed rail between L.A. and San Francisco. If that kind of a green project can't make it in deep blue, wealthy California, it's hard to imagine the economics and politics of similar projects working across the country.
Yeah, and I guess we're seeing it play out, that old line, if you can make it in New York, you can make it anywhere. And apparently Amazon is saying, no, we're not going to bother. So how does this play into the 2020 Democratic presidential primary? Because, you know, the Green New Deal and Amazon's decision definitely have political overtones.
Yeah, there is actually a really interesting read across, because it's not just the Green New Deal. It's this idea of Medicare for all. And these kinds of policies are really being embraced by a lot of the newly declared candidates. But think about who's going to have the winning strategy. And honestly, Vice President Joe Biden, or former Vice President Joe Biden, I should say, continues to lead all early polling. You know, of course, it remains to be seen whether this polling is going to hold up once he finally throws his hat into the ring. But Democratic voters are saying for now that they're open to a candidacy of an older, moderate white man, and they're not necessarily looking for a strong progressive. I mean, to be sure, it's possible that one day the Democratic Party will be the party of people who want to do proposals such as Medicare for All and the Green New Deal. But Sen's point is that political revolutions take time, and even if progressives are convinced they'll win in the end, for now they're overplaying their hand.
And it's going to be very interesting to see which direction the Democratic Party takes over the next few months. Bloomberg opinion editor Jennifer Ryan, thank you as always. And you can read more on this and other stories from Bloomberg Opinion at Bloomberg.com/opinion. On the Bloomberg terminal, customers type in OPIN Go on the search bar. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is 5:54 on Wall Street. We're coming up to that. And it's time for the Bloomberg Law Report. It's brought to you by American Arbitration Association. International trade or business dispute, resolve faster with the International Center for Dispute Resolution, the leader in alternative dispute resolution around the world, ICDR.org. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Podisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
Fewer NIH-funded scientists would use animals in research under legislation introduced by two California lawmakers. It would likely lengthen the process for reviewing tens of thousands of annual grant applications. While U.S. lawmakers were seeking to avoid another shutdown, state treasurers had a more low-profile request: restore subsidies for bonds issued for a major type of refinancing. And the U.S. Virgin Islands are being included on a blacklist by European Union regulators seeking to stem the risks of money laundering and terrorism. Financing.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need on one legal research platform. Guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
All right, Steve, thank you. Now, another legal news. A judge ruled this week that Paul Manafort broke his plea deal by repeatedly lying to prosecutors after agreeing to cooperate with special counsel Robert Mueller's Russia probe. For more on this story, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks to Brad Moss, a partner at Mark Zaid.
The judge concluded that Manafort had lied and misled both the investigators and the grand jury about his interactions with a purported Russian intelligence operative, a guy named Kalimnik, that he had concealed and misled about the details of loan agreements that had gone on, been ongoing at the same time of the campaign. But the interactions with Kalimnik, this whole detailed explanation that was given in the transcript of the oral discussions about how there was this clandestine meeting in August 2016 to get internal polling data to Kalimnik. They were leaving it going in and out from different doors between Paul Manafort, Rick Gates, and Kalimnik. That is going to the heart of what the special counsel is looking at in terms of potential criminal coordination between members of the Trump campaign and the Russian government. And that fact that Paul Manafort was lying about it really makes you wonder what he was so worried about revealing.
What implications can we draw, though, from the fact that the judge said prosecutors failed to prove that Manafort lied about Kalimnik's role in a conspiracy with Manafort to obstruct justice?
The allegation about obstructing justice in that superseding indictment that was brought against Paul Manafort and Kalimnik, that had to do with their efforts to obstruct and tamper with witnesses and information regarding the prosecution of Paul Manafort for money laundering and tax fraud, and things dealing with failure to register as a foreign agent tied to the lobbying, which certainly by in and of itself is a major felony, a major red flag, and something you're not permitted to do under law. But it wasn't necessarily tied to the underlying source of interest, this potential conspiracy, criminal conspiracy, to defraud the United States and to commit campaign finance felonies in the midst of the campaign. And that remains the $64,000 question. Was Paul Manafort being stupid? Because clearly the judge didn't find that plausible. Or is it that there was something so serious about this discussion, what he was willing to give to Kalimnik in exchange for what was apparently going to be money or, you know, resolution of debts with Kremlin-linked oligarchs? Is that something Paul Manafort was terrified of coming out because he was worried it was going to lose him a pardon from President Trump? Or even worse, is he fearful of what Vladimir Putin's going to do?
That's Brad Moss, a partner at Mark Zaid, speaking with Bloomberg's June Grasso. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law, weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. And find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. Futures this morning, they're higher, up 2 points. S&P futures, Dow futures are up 16, NASDAQ futures up 4. And the 10-year Treasury little change, yield 2.65%. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.